Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. This week, we're talking with an angel investor who has a penchant for picking winners. Jason Calacanis also produces two podcasts a week titled This Week in Startups. Calacanis is also working on a new book where he details some of the questions he asks founders during pitch sessions. We spoke earlier this week.
One question I ask, if you weren't doing this, what else would you be doing? It's generally a trick question because the right entrepreneur will look at you and think you're stupid and be like, well, why would I do anything but this? This is the most important thing in the world.
Right.
But I literally have had entrepreneurs say, well, you know what I really want to do is this or this. And you're like, okay, well, you need to go do that. And if I give you money to do this and it gets hard, you're actually going to leave and go do that.
Uh-huh.
Or this is always going to be in the back of your head. So, or somebody might let leak, well, I'm actually doing this for them. Why are you doing this is a great one. Why are you doing this?
Money.
And if they say money, you know, money is an okay driver of behavior, but it's not a long lasting driver because once you do get money, then you're obviously done.
Right.
And I see that a lot where a founder gets offered money for their company and they're like, oh, wow, I started this company. I owned 40% of it. And somebody just offered me $10 or $20 million for it. It's $4 or $8 million, life-changing money. So we're going to have to realize like, oh, my God, if I invest in your company at a $4 or $5 million valuation and you triple my money, that's death. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing that could happen to an angel investor is you give somebody money and they go 3X and they sell it. It's like, oh. I was hoping for 300X.
Right.
Why did we stop now? But it's completely reasonable for the founder. So,
Jason, I just want to kind of throw a softball at you. Like,
softball, here comes.
What's got your fancy right now?
That's a good question. I am very fascinated with something called equity crowdfunding.
Okay.
There's a strange thing in the world here in the United States. After the Great Depression and in the 1930s, a lot of people had their money scammed away from them by people trying to sell them stock. So the government, the SEC, did this wonderful thing where they said, hey, you can only offer these kind of like high-risk devices, equity in private companies. You can only offer that to people who are accredited investors. What's an accredited investor? It's some person who has, you know, $1 million in their bank account, not counting their home, or $200,000 or $300,000 a year in yearly income. In other words, it's 3% of the people in the United States. The other 97% cannot bet on startups. And it's in order to protect them. And it's a very historical thing. And we're very lucky in this country to have, you know, close to 100 years of these financial regulations to protect consumers. And even then, we still have to deal with the Madoffs in the world and we still have to deal with the Enrons, right? It's not a perfect system, but boy, are people protected here compared to how they weren't. Over time, people have started to say, well, these private companies might be worth investing in too. And why can't mom and pops, my mother and father, my brothers who are not qualified investors, they're not accredited investors, they're part of the 97%, which is where I spent the majority of my life, actually. Why can't they invest in the next LinkedIn or Uber or Microsoft or Google if they wanted to?
Right.
And so Obama did an act after called the Jobs Act, which had in it something called Title III, which meant private companies could raise $1 million from individuals who were not accredited. So imagine whatever product you bought, last technology product, I see you're wearing the Fitbit.
Yes, that's right, the new one, yeah.
Fitbit launched at my conference many years ago, the launch festival. What if you love the first version? I'm assuming you've had multiple versions of this when it was private before it went public, and you said, you know what? When I bought it, there was a thing in it that said, on August 1st, we're going to sell 10,000 people $100 in equity in the company. And the company was worth $10 million at the time. We're going to raise $1 million that way to fund that watch, you know, the next generation watch.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, well, I spent $200 on the watch and I could put $100 in to get some shares. If those shares triple, I got the watch for free.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it goes 10X, I got my whole family watches. And if it goes 1,000X, I can put a down payment on a condo.
Uh-huh.
But you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, now with Title III, you're going to be able to do that. So there's funding portals now where you can raise up to $1 million. The one problem with it is it's generally companies that couldn't raise money from people like me or venture capitalists. In other words, it's the picked over deal flow. It's what's left, you know, of the carcass by the time it, you know,
right.
in the desert rotting for a little while. But there's a possibility that someone like me or, you know, who has great deal flow, I have amongst the best deal flow in the world because I've been doing this for so long. I'm probably, you know, in the top 10 angel investors of all time and probably of the active investors, I'm probably in the top 3 or 4. So I'm pretty desirable after doing this for 5 or 6 years to founders, which is the goal of an angel investor. What if I said to my founders, 150 companies, hey, anybody who has over $50,000 a month in revenue who wants to offer $1 million in equity to the public, you can email your customer base and I will do an interview with you on my podcast ask you a bunch of hard questions, and I'll put another $10,000 into your company. I'll have my mom and my brothers put $1,000 in each, and we'll all have skin in the game, and people listening will know. And then I won't encourage people to do it, but I'll encourage them to take a look and give them some advice, and then I'll take none of the return. So in other words, I'll just do it to bridge that gap between the public who's not allowed to, those private companies. I mean, I'll be investing myself, so I hope that in a way, I guess I would do well because the companies would have more funding. But I would just be offering my deal flow, if the founders agree, to the public to participate.
And your acumen.
Yeah, hopefully like people look at it and go, hey, this person has had spectacular returns as an angel investor. Maybe he's doing a mitzvah here for everybody else. And that's really the reason I would do it is I just think there's very little way for poor people, middle class people to break out. And the way I broke out was through angel investing. And I think that that is actually a path to prosperity, is to take risk. And for, you know, my mom or my dad or my brothers, I would actually encourage them to take 5% of their net worth and take, you know, throw some Hail Mary passes, because if you lose the 5%, it probably makes no difference in your life ultimately.
Right.
Or if you lose 1, 2, 3, 4% of your net worth, it's probably not going to make any difference.
Right.
But oh my, if you hit 100x or you hit 1,000x, it could make you go 10x on your life savings. It can make you double your life savings. Well, you know what? That's not common. It's not uncommon.
Right.
And so it is a possibility, and it would be worth the risk. Just like, you know, some people think it's worth the risk to gamble or to play lottery tickets or go to Vegas. Now, I don't think that those are actually rigged against you. I think these are actually rigged in favor of you.
I see.
Which is, you know, you have an entrepreneur who's actually trying to make money, and everybody's incentive is in line. If your shares go up, their shares go up. If their shares go down, your shares go down. As opposed to Vegas where, you know, or any bookie, one side has to lose for the other side to win.
Right.
So there is a massive incentive for you to lose.
Jason, when is your podcast and frequency-wise?
Yeah. So I do a podcast for the last 6 or 7 years called This Week in Startups. We got to the podcasting space very early. I've done over 600 episodes of it. I do it twice a week. I've got 3 or 4 full-time staffers who work on it. So it's like a very large, sustainable business that we do. We break even on it. And every week, 104 times a year, I record episodes. So I kind of do it because it's intellectually stimulating to me. I took my Myers-Briggs. I was like 86% extrovert. And the best.
That's where I am, actually.
Yeah,
I'm ENTJ.
Yeah. So you're Steve Jobs like me. So anyway, the interesting thing about the Myers-Briggs is, and about entrepreneurs versus, about extroverts versus introverts, one's not better than the other. But there is a distinct difference when it comes to socialization. An extrovert gets out of a conversation like this, has more energy. So you and I will come out of this discussion, we'll be like, our heads will be spinning, we'll be writing in a good way, we'll be inspired, we'll be writing stuff on paper. Oh my God, I got 5 more ideas. An introvert might come out of a discussion like this and go, whoa, that was intense.
Right.
I need a cup of tea, I need to go for a walk, I need to sit down and be alone, I need to take a nap, I need to just do my email and not talk to anybody.
Yeah, I'm married to an INTP, I know that.
Yeah, so they just need their space, right? And so vive la différence, but you know, as an entrepreneur, angel investor, you know, both of these skills, an introvert can do very well as an entrepreneur because they're in their head and they just focus. Like I perceive Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, but they, I love conversations, and so for me, it's like recording 2 lunch conversations a week. So people are like, "Oh my God, you do 104 episodes a year?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, I suggest everybody watch and listen and tune in.
ThisWeekInStartups.com.
Yes, and it will be on the KGRRadio.com soon. Jason, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Talk to you again soon.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. That was Jason Calacanis, an angel investor, podcaster, author, and quite often a rainmaker. Coming up after this short break, we talk artificial intelligence with Vivek Wadhwa, a professor at Stanford and Duke Universities. Should we fear or embrace machine learning and our robot overlords?
It's a test designed to provoke an emotional response. Shall we continue? Describe in single words only the good things that come into your mind. About your mother?
My mother?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my mother.
Stay tuned.